When someone you look up to falls, what is the appropriate response? Ultimately, who should you really trust? Grace and Truth is next. Hey guys, and welcome to this week's podcast. I'm a grateful, gospel-centered disciple of Jesus Christ who struggles yet perseveres, and my name is Dave. Hope and pray that you're doing well. Today's podcast, entitled Solus Christus, In Christ Alone, was broadcasted live on Facebook on August 13th, 2019. It was in response to the recent news of fallen church leaders. Let's take a listen. I want to talk about this issue of what's been going on in the news lately. As many of you probably know by now, we've had a lot of pastors who have fallen in recent weeks. We heard about Marty Sampson from Hillsong Church, who began to question his faith and left it. We heard of Joshua Harris, author of the controversial book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. I absolutely did not like that book, and I'm glad I did not read it, because I knew it was heresy right from the start. Instead, I chose other books like Boundaries in Dating by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend, both PhDs. Too Close Too Soon, I'm going to read that momentarily, with Dr. Jim Talley and Bobby Reed. I'm currently reading right now Making Love Last by Laura Taggart, and in the Bible, The Song of Solomon. I'm doing that study with Three Crosses right now as we throughout these past few months. The reason why I want to do this broadcast is because a lot of times we tend to rely on pastors, especially of our generation, when it comes to all this stuff. The reason why I never really was into pastors who are of my generation is because a lot of the things that I noticed in some of their teachings were very, very confusing and probably foreign to the gospel. I found that the teachings from more reliable Bible teachers like the late Dr. J. Vernon McGee, Alistair Begg, the late Dr. R.C. Sproul, Dr. Chuck Swindoll, Tim Keller, who else? John MacArthur, Dr. John MacArthur, a fantastic expositional preacher, Dr. Tony Evans, and many others from that generation. And the reason why I tend to listen to those guys, even though there's kind of a balance between Reformed and non-Reformed in each of those groups, is because a lot of the things that they teach seem to be more applicable and more understandable, and also more in line with the scriptures. And it sickens me that a lot of people of my generation are failing to understand that. I want us to be careful about who we listen to. And I want to also make something very clear. And the reason why I listen to, and here's this, I listen to different pastors from both of the dispensational world and the Reformed world. Why, you may ask? I do not believe in aligning myself with either Calvinists, Arminians, or even dispensationalists. I believe that my identity needs to be in Christ alone, or as they say it in Latin, solus Christus. If we solely relied on the teachings of mere man, we could actually be in danger of idolizing that pastor. And that not only is bad for us as believers, but it puts our pastor in an awkward position. That's why I listen to several pastors, and always, and here's the best part, with pastors, I've used this analogy a lot, but I have to use it in this case. I think of pastors like small claims court, and I think of the Bible like binding arbitration. So in small claims court, when you sue somebody, if you don't like the decision that the judge made, you can take it to another court. I do not have to agree with everything that any of the pastors say. For example, with Dr. R.C. Sproul, I do not agree with him when it comes to baptism I believe it is by immersion for him and not by sprinkling. I also do not believe in allegorizing or spiritualizing the scriptures. I believe that the Bible needs to be interpreted the way that it was written, and that is literally. And that's where I am more of a dispensationalist. Now, there are also some things that I don't agree with J. Vernon McGee on. I mean, I do believe that there are angels. He did not. And he used the King James Version. I don't really like using the King James too much. Sometimes, lately I have been using it in my comm group, but as of this upcoming week, I'm going to switch back to the New American Standard Bible. And there are certain things that I don't agree with each pastor on. And I could name a number of them, but those are just a few. Those are not primary issues. Those are secondary. And apparently, we as believers, especially millennials, have been really hung up, perseverating, fixated on secondary issues. Guys, not to be rude, knock it off. Knock it off. We can't solely rely on secondary issues and get hung up on them. As somebody who struggles with Asperger's syndrome, I can perseverate at times. But one of the things I've had to learn is that that causes more harm than good. And if we perseverate on those secondary issues and perseverate on all of these pastors whom we rely on for spiritual nourishment, we're only going to cause ourselves more harm than good. That is why we need to let the scriptures speak for themselves. Now, back to my analogy. I think of pastors like small claims court. If you don't agree with everything that they teach, you don't have to agree with them on everything that they teach. But with the Bible, okay, I don't know if any of you ever watched Judge Judy, but in the beginning of her intro of every episode in the earlier seasons, her announcer would say, "You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Shineland. The people are real, the cases are real, the rulings are final." When you're in binding arbitration, and if you don't like what the judge said, you can't appeal it. That's too bad. You got to deal with it whether you like it or not. The Bible is no different. Anything that the Bible says is final authority. You can't appeal it. You can either accept it or reject it. You cannot appeal it. I accept the scriptures because I believe it is God's word. I believe that it needs to be interpreted the way that it was written, and that is literally, because if I try to allegorize or spiritualize the scriptures, I'm not letting God speak to me. I'm just basically trying to interpret it the way that I want to. I have to let it speak for itself. I need to let God speak for himself. If I don't let him speak for himself, I'm only going to basically cause more harm than good to myself, and I'll relapse in my road to recovery. And I'm not going to let that happen. And that is why whenever I hear about pastors who have fallen, especially of my generation, I grieve for their families. And it gives me clarity that they were probably not pastors that I should have listened to begin with. I knew from the start when I heard about the book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. I knew from the start that Harris was a heretic, and I believe he is. He was, he is, still is. Because that book hurt me, that book hurt a lot of people who were single, and I believe that when he left the faith, I was surprised. I was hoping that he would changing his mind about the book altogether and recanting was good enough. But then leaving his faith, that just really shook me. I am not going to rely on mere man for spiritual nourishment, or just a single mere man, or specific people from a specific movement. When I listen to any sermon, it has to be, I usually listen to people who are outside of my age range, because if I listen to somebody who's around my age range, how am I going to grow? How am I going to understand what Christ is saying? Well, there are benefits to that, but at the same time though, most of my generation doesn't even want to listen to those who are of the 40s to 60s plus generation. They want to basically do their own thing. But we can learn from our elders. Our elders are important to us. I have elders in my comm group. I have friends in Monterey who are elders. But I learn a lot from them. I don't think I would be where I am today had God not placed elders into my life. Most of the people that we have seen who have fallen are more in between the age of our elders as well as us. And my problem is that I don't normally listen to those preachers because a lot of the stuff that they teach isn't biblical. I believe that the stuff that I've been listening to for a long time now is biblical. My only hope and prayer is that the other people who do listen to those guys will understand that they need to use discernment and read the scriptures whenever they listen to anything that they say. Preferably literally as opposed to allegorically or spiritually. Because if we don't take the Bible seriously, if we don't read the Bible literally, how can we know what Christ is saying? My hope and prayer is that we understand that. Now, I understand completely that I am really edgy about this, and I'm sorry if I come off across like this for this program, but I have to let this out. This has become a problem. This is one of the reasons why I don't normally listen to people around my age when it comes to those out and about in the Christian world. Now, I want to also give you guys this challenge. When it comes to this ministry, do not ever solely rely on me. Please, please, please do not solely ever rely on me for your spiritual nourishment. I am not your pastor. I love how Jeff Durbin, whenever you watch a sermon on YouTube, whenever he's going to preach or when Dr. James White preaches, he always makes it clear in the beginning of each of his videos, I just want to tell you, I'm not your pastor. I would love to see you get connected with a healthy church family in your area. I am not your pastor, guys. I'm not. I'm a human being just like you guys. I would rather see you guys eat your Bible bay as opposed to solely rely on me for your spiritual nourishment. If you solely rely on me for your spiritual nourishment, you're only going to cause more harm than good to yourselves. You need to let the Holy Spirit speak to you through His Word. And if I say anything that is heretical or apostate, I want you to let me know, because I don't want to get away with doing something that would be detrimental to not only myself, but also to the people who I reach out to. God's Word is very important to me. And to teach something that is totally foreign to it is dangerous. I want to be obedient to the calling that God has given me. And that is why I stress and emphasize on the importance on accountability. My accountability team consists of people from my comm group as well as the young adults group at Three Crosses Church in Castro Valley, SOMA. It's also the same church where my girlfriend goes. I don't want people to solely rely on me for their spiritual nourishment. I would rather they get plugged into a church, a healthy church. And that's why I started GCAM Network. If you want to find a church that's healthy in your area, go to my website, chewmadenew.com/GCAM. Thanks for listening. And if you'd like to hear more of these programs, please let me know. You can contact me at my website, ChewMadeNew.com, or you can call me at 510-516-CHEW. That's 510-516-2439. Or you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And do you know someone who's hurting and needs hope? Maybe you're listening and need hope. Well, regardless, check out my story from Celebrate Recovery on YouTube. If you were encouraged by it and learn something from it, please share it with others and use the hashtag Gospel-Centered Autism Awareness whenever you do so. You can find my story on YouTube as Celebrate Recovery Testimony Dave Chew, or you can go to chewmadenew.com and click on the link that says, click here to watch my testimony. Until next time, peace out and God bless. Cinco's!